All right, good morning. Today's daf is daf Makos. We're in daf Yates. And that's where we need to be. This coming Monday evening, I remind everybody we're being Mesayim, the Mesechta. We're going to be meeting together at the house of the Tershwals. And everyone's invited to come. Everyone's invited and spouses as well. And in my case, even children. Okay, starting on the bottom of Yuches Amud Beis, and today, for the most part, it's going to be Bikurim, Mitzvah Bikurim. There are two components to the Mitzvah Bikurim. There's a component of placing the Bikurim on the Mizbeach, and there's also something called Tanufa, waving the Bikurim. So where is this generated from? Where does this come from? So it's based on the Psukim regarding Bikurim. Which of those components is essential to the mitzvah? So as we started discussing yesterday, and we're going to discuss more today, that is much of a debate. Kriya, the reading of the Parsha, Hanacha, the placing of it on the Mizbech, Tanufa, the waving. So we know that there are various components to Bikurim, which actually becomes essential, so that is subject to a debate. Let's see the Gemara inside. We'll start in the Gemara. We just finished Rabbi Zera called Aroy Labila and Bila Ma'akevas Bo V'chein Shein Rei Abad Labila Bila Ma'akevas Bo. Okay. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Masni La Kid Rav Asi. Okay. We are more than halfway down on the page on Yudches Amud Beis, and we're starting, the first words in the line is Bila Ma'akevas Bo, and we start with Rabbi Acha. Okay. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Masni La Kid Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov learns what we learned yesterday in the name of Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan, the Kashle to Rav Yochanan to Rav Yochanan, and based on that, there's a stir between two Rav Yochanans. Okay, just to be clear about what's going on right now, we have stated that Bikurim, placing on the Mizbeach, that's essential. Reading the Parsha, not essential. Right, that's what we learned yesterday. Okay. Fine. The Gemara now is going to state that was said in the name of Rav Yochanan. Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Bikurim Menachem Akeves Bahem Kriyei Akeves Bahem. Is that the Gemara says now? Is that really true? Meaning, can we attribute that statement to Rav Yochanan? Va'abai minei Rav Yasim Rav Yochanan Bikurim Emasai Mutarim LeKohanim. When can Bikurim be eaten by the Kohanim? Va'amar Lei Haruuya LeKriya Mishikara Leim V'Shein Ruuya LeKriya Mishura Pnei Abayis. So it depends. If you could do the mitzvah of kriya, right, meaning read the parsha in the Torah of Arami Ovid Avi, so after you read. If you cannot read the parsha, right, various reasons why you won't be able to read the parsha. One reason is you brought it after Sukkos. We learned yesterday, Bikurim that's brought after Sukkos, you don't read the parsha. Why? So we discussed yesterday, because after Sukkos, it's not a Zman Simcha. The pasuk says, V'samachta b'chol atov. You have to be rejoiceful. Just not as, it's not as Man Simcha after Sukkos. It's the winter time. It's not the collection of fruit. You're not bringing fruit in. So that's one reason why you're not going to read the Parsha. Today we're going to see another reason why you might not be able to read the Parsha. Right? A ger, convert, bringing it. We'll talk about that later on this morning. Okay, so if you can read the Parsha, so after you read the Parsha. And if you cannot read the Parsha, Mishra Pnei Abayis. So, and if you can't read the Parsha, so from the time that you bring it into the Bayis, bring it into the house. Okay, now, Kasha Kriya Kriya Kasha Hanacha Hanacha. Now, there are...
Is the Kohen's consumption of the Bikurim dependent on you reading the Parsha? If you don't read it, you're not going to read it?
That's what Rav Yochanan is saying.
And it's going to just go bad. It's going to just be left over.
Correct. That's what Rav Yochanan is saying. So we have two steerers. We have one problem where... In the former statement, Rav Yochanan says Kriya is not essential. And here in this statement to Rav Yochanan, Kriya is absolutely essential. You can't eat the Bikurim until you read. So that's one problem. Another problem is the problem Hanacha. Previously, he said Hanacha makes it or breaks it. Here, it sounds like, doesn't sound like, it says, when you bring it into the Pnei Abayis, when you bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, that's fine, that's enough. So Kasha, Kriya, Kriya, Kasha, Hanacha, Hanacha. So the Gemara now will say Kriya Kriya Lo Kasha. The Gemara now says that, look, Rav Yochanan, it's true, the statements do contradict one another, but Rav Yochanan is not giving his own personal opinion, he's just explaining various Tanaim's opinion. Lo Kasha Ha Rabbi Shimon Ha Rabbanan. The difference is the difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Sorry. right? And hanach hanach namilokasha harabi Yehuda v'harabanan. So, and as far as hanach is concerned, one is Rabbi Yehuda and one is Rabbanan, meaning simply that there is a machlokas tanaim on both points, whether reading is essential or reading isn't essential. The question of whether the reading is essential, that we discussed yesterday, that was a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, fine. And as far as placing it on the Mizbeach, is that essential? So the Gemara says that's also subject to a debate. So really the truth of the matter is that as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, we don't even know his own opinion. In the various statements that he said, he was just simply identifying and expressing Tanaim's opinion. This issue of Hanacha, my Rabbi Yehuda, so the Gemara now wants to just explain this a little bit better, explore this a little bit better. The Tanya we learned on a Braisa of Yehuda, Omer Vihinachto, Zutanufa. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that when the Torah says Vihinachto, right, and you place it down, so Kipshuto, right, the simple pshat in the pasuk is that you place it on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat of Vihinachto is it's talking about waving. There's an aspect, there's an element of the Bikurim that it needs to be waved. It sounds funny, but it's really no different than what we do with the lulav. We wave the lulav, we shake the lulav. Up, down, right, left, all around. Right, so with the Bikurim, same thing, there's a tenufa. Now, how do you get from the word vihinachto to tenufa? So Rashi tells us, it's easy. Rashi says, kari be vihinachto, lashon velo nacham elokim. Right, shehu hu manche oso la'arba ruchos umalem umorid. The word vihinachto can mean to place, but Rashi points out, we see it in Parshas Bishalach, it also means to move around, to wave around. Right, v'lo nacham elokim. God did not take the Jewish people in this direction, but He took them rather in another direction. Okay, so you have the word v'hinachto, and it refers to tenufa. Ata omer zu tenufa oeinu ela hanacha mamish kishu omer v'hinicho hare hanacha amur hamani mekayim v'hinachto zu tenufa. So the word v'hinachto is a reference to tenufa. Fine. So that's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. So right, it's not 100% clear, but the point that the Gemara is trying to make is that according to Rav Yehuda, Hanacha is not essential. It's part of the process, but it's not essential. How do I know it's not essential? Because the Torah didn't repeat itself. Meaning, that we have one word, Vihinacho, which means to place on the Mizbeach. We have another word, of Vihinachto, but that's not talking about placing on the Mizbeach. That's talking about the mitzvah of Tenufa. So we only have one pasuk that talks about placing on the Mizbeach. When we get to the world of Kachim, right, Zvachim and Menachos, we're going to see that in order to make something essential by Avodah, it has to be repeated. The word, the idea has to be expressed twice in the Torah.
So why is waving considered essential if it's only also mentioned once?
So waving may not be essential. We, right? According to Rav Yehuda,
it
could...
It was a mitzvah.
So it's placing on the Mizbeach. Right? You have to separate doing a mitzvah versus making an essential part of the process. So you have to wave and you have to put, I'm sorry, you should wave and you should put it on the Mizbeach, but it may not be an essential part of the mitzvah.
Essential in what sense?
Essential in the sense that if you don't do it, it's not Bikurim.
Right.
Can't be eaten by the, can't be eaten by the Kohanim. If it's just a mitzvah, meaning that if you don't do it, you've missed a mitzvah opportunity, but it's, but it's not, it's still Bikurim.
Who makes the tenufa? Is it the Kohen?
We'll get to that in just a second. Oman tana de palagalaz Rav Yehuda Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And the Gemara says, and who argues with it? It's Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Detanya v'lakacha kohen atena miyadecha li made ala bikurim she'tu'unim tenufa divrei Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Right, the pasuk says that the Kohen takes the basket from your hand. That's where we learn tenufa. So, in other words, so according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, what now becomes of the word vihinachto? That's talking about placing it on the Mizbeach. Okay, now, let's put it all together. According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, you have the word vihinachto, you have the word vihinicho, those are two times in the Torah where the Torah is telling you you have to place on the Mizbeach, right? The Torah's Mishana, the Torah repeats itself, le'akev, in order so that the Torah tells you, not that that's just a nicety, not that it's just a mitzvah, but it's essential. You need to put it on the Mizbeach. That's the opinion of Elazar ben Yaakov. Good. So now we know who argues with Rabbi Yehuda. We know why he argues with Rabbi Yehuda. What about this idea of tenufa? He gets it from a different area, a different part of the psukim. That's the source of tenufa according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. My time at the Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. How do you get from the words v'lakacha koin atanim miyadecha? How do you get tenufa from there? Asiya yad yad mishlamim k'siv hakav lakacha koin atanim miyadecha. Uksiv yadav tivienu es yishe Hashem ma kan kohen af lahalan kohen ma lahalan balim af kan balim haketzan. So in our pasuk we're talking about the owner waving it. In the pasuk by Shlomim we're talking about the kohen waving it. Owner waving it, kohen waving it. Which one? Correct answer is C. Both. Right, haketzan miniach kohen yadav tachas yidei balim. The kohen places his hand under the hands of the owner. And the two of them together do tenufa. So if you will, if you want to imagine what's going to happen when you bring Bikurim, God willing, so your hand is going to be right under the Kohen's hands, and the two of you together are going to do the mitzvah of tenufa. I don't know how you do backwards. Well, both of you are holding it. Okay, so maybe not backwards. Right, up, down.
Is this similar to the
Zula? Yeah, yeah.
This could be a big
Mala
How is that derived
that
it's supposed to be like a law?
No, it's just the terminology used is right to Rashi's terminology is la arba ruchos umala umorid in the four directions, right, and up and down. Right? So say,
where does he get that from?
That's just the terminology that's used whenever we describe tenufa. Whenever tenufa comes up by karbanos, tenufa comes up by bikurim, tenufa comes up by lulav and esrog. But that's whenever we talk about it. We talk about it in all directions, right? The order that's subject to minhagim in terms of how to go in all the directions. But that's just the general idea.
By Omer, don't we have
also tenufa?
Yeah.
Yep.
So the coin has to do with there too.
Yep.
Or is it only the coin? Or
no. No. Well, there's no owner. That, right? The Omer is it's carbon seaboard, so there's no owner over there. Okay. Good. All right. So we have now. Okay. So there are three components to the Bikurim, right? The Hanacha, the placing on the Mizbech, the Tanufa, the waving, and the Kriya. Okay. There is much Machlokus in the Gemara, unfortunately, but there's much Machlokus in the Gemara in terms of which is just a mitzvah and which is essential. Okay. And we have a host of opinions in the Gemara in terms of which is actually necessary and which is just a mitzvah to do. Okay. Amar Rava bar Avad, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Bikurim, me'emesai mechayven aleha. Okay. When are you chayv? Meaning, Rashi explains, Misa zar ha'ochlan. We learned in our Mishnah, right, which is why we're discussing Bikurim, that if a non-Kohen were to eat Bikurim, so he's subject to Malkus. Okay. When is it Bikurim? It's such a simple question. What do you mean, when is it Bikurim? Right? When I take the basket and I put it in the... When I take the fruit and I put it in the basket, so it's Bikurim. Not yet. Meaning, I'm assigning it to become Bikurim, but it does not take on the full status of Bikurim until a certain point. What is that point? Okay? So, Me'emasai Mechayven Laha, Mishiyiru Penei Habayis. So, the Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, that when it goes into the Pnei HaBayis, when it goes into the house, the entrance to the house. Okay. Now, it's a little bit confusing because Mishiyiru Pnei HaBayis, we know that terminology in the context of Truma and Meiser, meaning that when you bring the produce into your own home, so now it's Chayiv and Truma, and now it's Yiru Pnei HaBayis, it's senior house, and now there's the chiyuv of Truma and Maisra. Over here, we're not talking about Truma and Maisra, we're talking about Bikurim, okay? And we're talking about the house, we're not talking about your house, we're talking about the house, meaning the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Rashi on the previous page is very clear, Mishiyiru Pnei HaBayis, because the Gemara said this yesterday as well, Mishiyichnas, I'm reading Rashi yesterday. Rashi yesterday, it's more than halfway down on the page, Mishiyichnasu La'azara, when you bring it into the Azara, the temple courtyard, okay, so if you will, there's a, right, those of you who are listening cannot see this, but if you look at the schematic over there at the second temple, so the temple courtyard is the pink area, right? Sorry, it's not displayed for everybody. But it's the pink area. The pink area is the temple courtyard. That little box to the left, that's Ezra's Nashim. That's not part of the temple courtyard. That is, it's an enclosed area, but that's not the temple courtyard. Temple courtyard is the box on the right. Right, the pink box on the right. So, the Mishnah tells us that once I bring the Bikurim into that area, the Biur Panei Avayis, so then it's subject to being Bikurim. Now it has the full status of Bikurim. A non-Kohen from that point forward, a non-Kohen who eats the Bikurim is going to be subject to Malkus. Assuming again he gets warned and he goes through the whole process of corporal punishment, from that point forward he's going to get Malkus. Fine?
Why should this be different than Truma and Mitzvah, especially if they're using the same technology?
Right.
Truma also goes to the Kohen. Do you think that's a fresh or European?
Right, right. I understood. Understood. Right. Right. It's a big chiddush. Correct. Right. If without the Gemara, I would have said exactly like you, that it would have come from the moment you separated it, and for some reason, which.
No, even with the Gemara, I'd say that.
I know, but I'm saying, but that's the Gemara is very.
The Gemara seems to be.
But the Gemara is very clear. The Gemara says that you don't have. It doesn't have kedusha. You don't have the. You don't have any punishments until it's brought into the Beis Hamikdash. So fine, Mishiru Panei Amayis, Kamanki Aitana Detanya. In fact, the Gemara says we have a Braisa supporting this as well. Detanya, Rabbi Lazar Omer Bikurim Miksasam Echutz Umiksasam Bifnim. So look at this. It's like it's the Gemara takes it so literally. So here you have Bikurim. You put it in the basket, and the basket, half the basket's inside the Azara, half the basket's outside the Azara. Right? We know. To diagram such a case, we have to say that we know exactly where the mark is from the inside of the Azar to the outside of the Azar. So let's, right? What if you're in the threshold itself? Okay, whatever. Let's just deal with the abstract concept. You know exactly where that line is between inside and outside the Azara. You have half of it inside, half of it outside. Miksasim bifnim shibichutz harein kechulin lechol divrayim shibifnim harein kehekdesh lechol divrayim. So now it's just unbelievable. The part that's inside the Azara, so that's going to have the kedusha of bikurim. And if a non-kohen were to eat it, he'd be subject to malchus. And outside, if you have anything outside, it's chul and the chol divrayim. Okay, Amrav Sheshes Bikurim Hanacha Me'akevas Bahem Kriya in Me'akevas Bahem. Back to our discussion now of what is essential and what isn't essential. So Rav Sheshes over here now chimes in. Now it's interesting. In general, we see this all the time. When we get to Zvach Menachos, we're going to see this all the time. The Amorayim are taking halachic stands on issues that have no relevance to them, right? Rav Sheshes is an Amora, living a couple hundred years after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, and he's paskening on what is essential by Bikurim, what isn't essential by Bikurim, and he lives in Iraq. Like, okay, it's interesting that they take this stuff not just seriously, but they come to halachic conclusions on these matters. Amar Rav Sheshes Bikurim Hanacha Ma'akevas Bahem Kriya Ein Ma'akevas Bahem. When it comes to Bikurim, the placing on the Mizbech, that's Ma'akev. The reading is not Ma'akev. Kaman ki Aitana, Ditanya. And the Gemara says, and we have a Braisa that supports this ruling of Rav Sheshes. Ditanya. Rav Yosi Omer, Shosha Dvarim, Mishum, Shosha Zekenim. There are three things that were said by three elders. Rav Yishmal Omer, Yochol Ya'ala Adam, Ma'isr Shinim, Bezman HaZeb Yushalayim. V'yochlenu. So Rav Yishmal says, I would think that I could take Meister Sheni nowadays, right? Meaning, post-destruction of the Second Temple. I could take it nowadays and bring Meister Sheni up and eat it in Yerushalayim. Okay. Now, think about it, because even before we get to the technicalities of the Gemara, to a certain degree it makes sense. I can't bring a carbon nowadays, I don't have a Mizbeach. Okay, right? Even Bikurim. Bikurim, I don't have a Mizbeach. The Torah says that you have to place the Bikurim on the Mizbeach, so I don't have a Mizbeach. So Bikurim also no. But Meister Sheni, what did Meister Sheni require? Nothing. Other than to bring it up to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. Now, we're going to get to the today, this is one of the major Gemaras that discuss whether the Kedusha of Yerushalayim exists even post-destruction of the Churban. That is subject to a Machlokas Tanayim. We've seen it in the Gemara Megillah. We're going to see it today in Makos on Daf Yates. Okay? But if assuming that that the Kedusha is still there, so why not? Why not bring Maaser Sheni up to Yerushalayim and eat in Yerushalayim? So Rabbi Yishmael says, Yachol. I might have thought, as a legitimate Avamina, I might have thought that we could have done this. Vidinhu. And Yachol Yayala Adam Maaser Sheni Bezman Azeb Yerushalayim Ve'achlanu. Vidinhu. Bechor Tanavaz Makom U Maaser Sheni Tanavaz Makom. Ma Bechor Eino Ela Bifnei Abayis. Av Maaser Eino Ela Bifnei Abayis. So the Gemara says, well, Bechor, I need the Beis HaMikdash. Same thing with Maaser Sheni, I need the Beis HaMikdash. Gemara says, what do you mean? Mala Bechor Shekein Tal Matan Damim V'Imurim L'Gabe Mizbeach. So, how could you say that? Because Bechor, you need a Mizbeach. You need to Shecht the Bechor. Bechor is your firstborn animal, which has Kedusha and is given to the Kohen. You need to Shecht it, you need to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. So, by Bechor, I can't eat Bechor nowadays because there's no Mizbeach. Right? By Maaser Sheni, there's no Mizbeach requirement. Bikurim Yochichu. Okay, you're right. Bechor by itself cannot teach us. But now we'll turn our attention to Bikurim. Bikurim, which we don't bring nowadays. So, Maaser Sheni also we can't bring nowadays. Amale Bikurim, Shekein Teunim Hanacha. The Gemara says, yeah, but Bikurim requires placement on the Mizbeach. And we don't have a Mizbeach. Maaser Sheni doesn't require placement. Tamalomar v'achalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Mekish Maaser lebechor. Ma bechor eino ela lifnei abayis. Af Maaser eino ela lifnei abayis. Fine. So the Gemara says, you're right. And so we're not using arguments. We're not going to construct an argument. Because even though it's true, Bechor isn't brought nowadays, but that's because we don't have a Mizbeach. Bikurim is not brought nowadays, yeah, but that's also because we don't have a Mizbeach. So Maaser Sheni doesn't match either one. So the Gemara says it's a Hekesh. The Torah says, V'achalta Hashem lefnei Hashem Elokecha, right? And in that pasuk, in Parshas Re'eh, it includes your Maaser Sheni and all the and the carbonus as well. So there's a hekesh. Makish ma'isa lebechor ma'bechor ino elef ne'abayis of ma'isa ino elef ne'abayis. Fine, period. So it's based on a hekesh. Okay. What did you see in that brisa? Something very clear. Hanacha is necessary, right? Because when the Gemara tried to compare Maaser Sheni to Bikurim, the Gemara says, no, you can't compare it. Bikurim needs to go on the mizbeach. Right? Okay, so you see clearly from that brisa that hanacha is part of the, not just a mitzvah, but an essential part of Bikurim, and it's the reason why we can't bring Bikurim nowadays. Fine. The im isa, lifrach mali Bikurim shekein to an inkriya, v'hanacha, and you see something else, not as explicit, but you see it as well. Kriya is not essential, right? Because when contrasting Maaser Sheni to Bikurim, so the Brisa could have said, it was a great opportunity for the Brisa to say, Bikurim, you need to place on the Mizbech, and there's a mitzvah called Kriya. Right? Which makes it different than Maaser Sheni. By Maaser Sheni, there's no Kriya. Fine? And the Brisa didn't say that. So it's deductive logic, but you could read from the Brisa that Kriya is not essential. Right? You could say that. Amar Ravashi Nehidi Kuva Leka Mitzvah Mileka. So the Gemara says, look, right, essentially, it's not exactly your point, but essentially, the Gemara says, look, it's still there, right? You can't ignore the fact that it's still there. Velema Mitzvah Velifroch. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, even if it's not essential, why didn't it mention it? So the Gemara says, the only reason why Kriya is not mentioned is because sometimes Kriya can't be done. So in other words, it's not as objective as Hanacha. Hanacha always can be done. Oh, you can always do Hanacha. You can't always do Kriya. Okay? And interestingly enough, the Gemara says, you know when you can't do Kriya? If you're a convert. You're a convert. You live in Israel. You have now your first fruits. You're bringing them up to Yerushalayim, And the Gemara says, and you can't do Kriya. Why? I mean, the Gemara says it straight out.
Yeah.
Because it says, Asher nishba Hashem la'avoseinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised our forefathers. And according to this Braisa, or right, the Gemara's understanding of the Braisa, the Ger won't be able to say that. Because it's not his forefathers. Okay, this is subject to a major discussion about, you know, what a Ger is obviously a full-fledged Jew.
Right.
Right? There's no question about that. Right? With full status and allowed to marry another Jew. So to say that, you know, he's a grade lower, that's obviously not, you know, that's not tenable. On the other hand, the Gemara says that over here, when it comes time to say something regarding the avos, the forefathers, so the ger can't do it because the ger is not, the ger doesn't share our avos.
Was the kids and grandkids, the whole lineage now can't do that?
It does sound that way. It does sound that way. I mean, I guess eventually when, you know, when he so to say, when he intermarries, I'm using the term here loosely, obviously, but when he, you know, when he marries a Jew and they have children, so then maybe the Jew can say, but I'm saying,
now the kid's father is now your part of four.
Right, okay, I understood. This Gemara says that he can't do Kriya, right? The Gemara takes that very strong position, and then, you know, it lends itself to the discussion, although this is not my, you have to, you ask somebody, you know, can a Ger say, right, because I'm a zone, right? Right,
or,
right, or right, and it can't be. In other words, it can't be that the gear is excluded from saying those things.
Right.
Although, then you have to say something. You have to explain somehow how you can, on one hand, say, you know, we know intuitively the gear is going to bench and the gear is going to daven. We know that. We know intuitively all that's going to happen. So then, what's the difference between those things and this over here by Kriya? The mitzvah of Kriya by Bikurim, where the Gemara says he's precluded. So I don't know. I don't have the answer, but it's just certainly something to, you know, to chew on.
Maybe it's just limited to the two Bikurim, and the Ger cannot say it for whatever reason.
Well, I mean, but the Gemara is very clear about why he can't say it. I'm with you. I'm not trying to be difficult, nor do I want to be. But I'm just saying that the Gemara says very clearly, because it says Lavaseinu, he is precluded. So, and we know that that's not going to be true by anything else, where there's a mention of Avoseinu. So, okay.
The extension of this pasuk has to do with Eretz Yisrael too.
Correct.
But Eretz Yisrael was not given to again.
Oh,
so that's a
right.
Possibility.
Maybe.
Limited to Bikurim.
Right, in benching it's talking about. Right, right. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, we have looked for a way to contrast Meister Sheni to two other things that are just simply not doable after the destruction of the temple. Bikurim and Bechoros. By the way, it's just interesting. They both are basically, it's the same word. Bikurim is your first fruits, right? Bikurim is from the word Bechor. And Bechor is obviously your firstborn. So it is interesting that they're both basically the same essential idea, but they both, you can't do either one after the destruction because they both need the temple. So the Gemara says it's not a good comparison to Meister Sheni because Meister Sheni has nothing to do with the Mizbeach. The Gemara just now wonders, from a technical standpoint, why don't we use a Mehatzad? Mehatzad means let's use a common denominator of the two, meaning that we know Bechor is not, you can't compare Bechor by itself to Meister Sheni. You can't compare Bikurim to Meister Sheni. So, but why don't we use the Mahatzad, the combination of the two? But the Gemara says, the answer is so obvious. It's Mishum Deikla Mifrach Malatzad Shebehem Shekengesh Memtzad Mizbeach. The Gemara says, okay, but even when you put the two together, they both need the Mizbeach, and Meister Sheni doesn't need the Mizbeach. The Gemara, quite frankly, I don't even know what the Havamina was. It's, you know, it's pretty obvious.
That.
Right. Correct. Kohan, right.
Yeah.
You're right, absolutely.
What about Maser Omi? If we are accepting that some kind of Maser should be given, so it seems Maser Omi can be done because they're always on the
correct. Path. Correct. Yeah. Okay, Umay Kasavar. Okay, now we get on to one of the more right here we get to the main Gemara, and that is right. We're having a discussion now of bringing Meister Sheni nowadays, bringing Bikurim nowadays, and bringing Bechor nowadays. Now again, Bikurim and Bechor, we know just there's a technical issue, and that is you need the Mizbeach, and we don't have the Mizbeach. But Mizbeach aside, just in principle, to have a discussion of taking Meister Sheni nowadays and eating it in Yerushalayim, so that now is built on the following question. Does Yerushalayim nowadays have Kedusha? Okay, is the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, I'll say the question as simply as possible, is the Kedusha of Yerushalayim connected and attached to the having of a temple? Or no? Even after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, even after the destruction of the temple, Yerushalayim still has the Kedusha. Okay? And this is subject to a major machlokus amongst the Tanayim. Ikasav Kedusha Rishon HaKish L'Shayta V'Kish L'Asid Lavo, Afil B'chor Nami. Ikasav Kedusha Rishon HaKish L'Shayta V'lo Kish L'Asid Lavo, Afil B'chor Nami Tibaye. So the Gemara says, well, what are you assuming on the major issue, on the bigger question of Kedusha Yerushalayim? Amar Ravina, Olam Kasav Kedusha L'Shayta V'lo Kish L'Asid Lavo. Okay, we can even entertain this question, even if you hold Yerushalayim does not have its sanctity. Okay, now that's amazing. How are you going to do that? Meaning that we're talking now about the consumption of Bechor and bringing Bikurim and Meister Sheni, even if Yerushalayim doesn't have its Kedusha. How do you do that? V'hacha b'Bechor shenizrak damo kodem korban habayis v'charav habayis. The Adayin Besaro Kayim. Okay, so the case would be it's so theoretical. It's really in concept, right? It's academic. The case would be where we shechted the Bechor, we sprinkled the blood on the Mizbeach, and then the temple was destroyed. So now we did the ritual acts necessary to eat the Bechor, but we don't have a temple. So umakshina b'saro l'damo, ma'damo b'mizbecha b'saro b'mizbeach, and then we have now. And now, how does it manifest? How does this take form? So now I have the meat of the bechor. I don't have a beis hamikdash. The kedusha of Yerushalayim now is eradicated. We're right now adopting the position that it's not kishalas elavo. Umakish meisel bechor v'chi davar. Sorry, ma damo b'mizbech al b'sar b'mizbech. Umakish meisel bechor. And now that I know that I can't eat bechor because once I lose the beis hamikdash, I lose the kedusha of Yerushalayim. I therefore can't eat meister sheni as well. Okay, period. So step by step, how do we go? It's a little confusing. But even if we're going to take the position, right now we're going to adopt the position that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim does not continue. I'll get to what people's opinions are in just a moment. But right now, let's assume that it does not continue. Fine. So first of all, how can I even have the Bechor? How did that happen? I shechted the Bechor and I sprinkled the blood before the destruction. Then the destruction takes place. Right? Again, we're just dealing it more in the theoretical. In a moment, it just gets destroyed. I'm left now with the meat of the Bechor. I can't eat the meat of the Bechor because I need the Mizbeach and I need the Kedusha Shalim and I no longer have it. And then I have a Hekesh and now I have, in Parshas Re'eh, both Meister Sheni and Bechor mentioned in the same Pasuk. So just like I can't eat Bechor without a Mizbeach, I can't eat Meister Sheni without a Mizbeach as well. Period. Now let's just finish this up and I'll come back to discuss it in more in general. Wait, just one second. V'chi davar halamed behekesh chozom halamed behekesh. So the Gemara says when it comes to kachim, what you just did is you went two steps, right? When we go into the world of kachim, we'll see this in Zvachim a couple of times. You can't do that. You can't go limud limud, right? You're not allowed. Just say right, because you'll see when it comes to kachim, you can't do that. You can't go limud limud. You can learn one time through any one of the yud gimel midos. Stop, and that's it. You can't learn through the yud gimel midos and then take what you learned and learn it and learn another step through the yud gimel midos. You can't do that in the world of Kachin. Here, we learned that in order to eat the meat, I need the Mizbeach. I need the Mizbeach because when I sprinkle the blood, I need the Mizbeach. So therefore, when I eat the meat, I need the Mizbeach. That's one limud. And then I learned that just like I can't eat Bechor, I can't eat Maaser Sheni. That's a second limud. So the Gemara says that's limud, limud. In the world of Kachim, you can't do that. That's the Gemara's question on the bottom of the page. V'chidavar halamed behekesh, chozam halamed behekesh. So the Gemara gives two responses to this question. Maaser Dagon, chulin, who? So the Gemara says, fine. So one answer is that Maaser, this Maaser is considered chulin, and so therefore it does not violate the rules of limud limud, because when we're learning to Maaser, and Maaser is chulin. Now Maaser, of course, is not chulin. Maaser is eaten in Yerushalayim, but it's not kachim, it's not karban. And so therefore, I can learn out Maaser. That's one approach. Hanicha laman da'amar. Top of the next page. Hanicha laman da'amar basa lamed azlinan. So the Gemara says, wait a second. That's assuming that when you look at this rule, you follow the end, you follow the goal. But what if you follow the milamed? Meaning not what you're learning to, but what you're learning from. And here we're learning from Bechor. Bechor is a carbon. So I'm going limud, limud, and even though the end product is chulin, but still, I'm learning it from Bechor, and I can't do that. The Gemara's second answer, or maybe this is just the end of the entire answer, is that dam basar is not a two-step, that's a one-step. Meaning you assume that that was in of itself was its own step. The Gemara says, no, that's not its own step. That is the baseline for giving me the basic idea that without a mizbeach, I can't sprinkle the blood and I can't eat the meat as well. And that's not its own limud. That's just simply a fact. And then from there, we can then go to Maaser Sheni and tell us that with Maaser Sheni, I can't eat Maaser Sheni without the mizbeach. Okay. Well, no. If you eat Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, you're subject to Malkus. And if Yerushalayim does not have its kedusha, so it's like eating it outside. Okay.
Question. So, do we know this whole concept of Bikurim? What did they do before there was the first temple? Where
they bring the Purim? They had Shiloh. So I assume they brought it to Shiloh.
Mm-hmm. Or to the tent.
Or to the Mishkan, the Omar. All right.
In the contemporary Machlokes of
the Yeah. So the Gemara never takes a very hard stand on where are we in terms of this question of Kedusha. Kedusha is Yerushalayim Kishala Shaisa V'Kishala Asid Lava. Okay? The Rambam says, okay, I'll tell you what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that Yerushalayim still has Kedusha. Rambam writes very clearly that Kishala Shaisa V'Kishala Asid Lava, that it was sanctified for then, it was sanctified forever. And the Rambam says that Yerushalayim still maintains its Kedusha that it once has. And so therefore, for the halachas of Yerushalayim / Har Habayis / the Azara, we assume it has all of its Kedusha. According to the Rambam, that means, simply put, that if you're Tamei, you can't walk into the Azara. And if you are a lower level of Tama, right, a Baal Keri, for example, someone who had a seminal emission, so he can't go into Har Habayis. Right, Yerushalayim, you can be Tamei and be in Yerushalayim, which we see nowadays. We're all Tamei, and we all go into Yerushalayim. That's fine. But you can't go into Har Habayis, and you cannot go into the Azara, right? So I mentioned this a number of times already. My good friend, everyone seems to know him, Rabbi Josh Fass. So he does go on Har Habayis. He's gone on Har Habayis before, so he toveled in the mikvah. It's interesting. It's not for now. It's its own discussion. But toveling in the mikvah only gets rid of your one level of tumah. You only gets rid of your tumas balkari, right? That gets rid of your tumah for having seminal emission. Toveling in the mikvah doesn't make you right? We're all tamei meis. We all come into contact with a dead person, or we've touched people who've come into contact with dead with a dead person, and so we're all tamei meis. And tovling the mikvah is not going to take care of that. Okay, and what do you say about that? Nothing. You don't go. You need the paraduma. You don't go into the azara. Which is one of the reasons why going on Har Bayis becomes controversial. Because when you go on Har Bayis, you're assuming, I'm only going to go to the area of Har Bayis, but I'm not going to go into the Azara, and you have to know that you're in the Har Bayis area and you're not in the Azara area. So there are people who feel confident enough to know that I'm on Har Bayis, but I'm not in the Azara. Okay? And that...
What does Rambam say about the Maaser Sheni that happened?
Well, the Maaser Sheni...
that Yerushalayim Kedusha exists, so what?
So in theory, he would then say that you can eat Maaser Sheni. The problem, not the problem, but our Gemara tells us that there's a Hekesh, that there's a connection between Maaser Sheni and Bechor. So nowadays...
Huh?
He said... Yeah. So once we have our Hekesh between Bechor and Maaser Sheni, so I know I can't eat Bechor, so I know I can't eat Maaser Sheni. Okay, so that's okay. Fine. All right. So that is okay. So that's the Gemara over there. Just to make sure that we're all on the same page. I told you the Rambam says that Kedusha continues even after the destruction of the temple. The Ravid argues. The Ravid over there. A major discussion between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Ravid over there disagrees. The Ravid is of the opinion. You want to see this inside. I don't have the Rambam here with me. Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Okay, Perek Vav. Halacha Tazayin. You see it over here on the footnote of the page. See over, open up the Rambam over there, and you'll see the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says that the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim still has its Kedusha. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid actually writes that if you walk onto Har HaBayis, you're not going to be Chayiv Kares. Right? The Ravid says that. Okay? And so, really, the machlokas that you find in the Gemara is then turns into a machlokas Rishonim between the Rambam and the Ravid.
So what Rambam suggests to do nowadays? That if
Rambam Ekesh, would tell you...
It says Yerushalayim has Kedusha Ba'ekesh, you cannot do it, so what to do with the Maaser Sheni?
So what to do with the Maaser Sheni? So what we do nowadays, I'll tell you what we do nowadays, is that we take Maaser Sheni and we transfer the Kedusha onto a coin. And then what? So they then, anyone see this happen? They then take their coins, they hold the coins. at the end of the third and sixth year, you have beer. You have to get rid of all your trumas and maestros. So at the end of the third and sixth year, they destroy the coin.
Yeah.
Some throw into the Yamamelech, some just bend it and, you know, with a pair of pliers. But that's what they do. They take the maestro sheni and they transfer its kedusha onto a coin. And you don't have to do dollar for dollar.
It's not like 10%.
Right. In other words, you can use the same coin and you could keep adding more Maaser Sheni onto it again and again.
What about
Truma Maaser? And with Truma, we separate Truma and then you let it rot.
That's what the Rambam
saying
to do for the coin to transfer to a coin and destroy the coin. Is that what he's saying?
Well, as far as Truma is concerned, I'm just telling what we do nowadays.
Maaser Sheni. What is he saying to do?
By Maaser Sheni, that's what we do. I don't have the Rambam's offhand, but that's what we do. Okay, let's do a little bit more for this morning. Okay. Yeah. Kache kachem tanina chadizimna Maaser Sheni behektish shalom niftu. Okay, Gemara is bothered by repetitive nature of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, back on Yud Zayin, says that if you eat Maaser Sheni outside the walls of Yerushalayim, you're subject to Makos. Okay, go back to the first Mishnah of the third Perek. The first Mishnah says that... Right, Tamei she'achal, sorry, Tamei ochal, chelav dam, sorry. Right, achal tevel ma'aser rishon shelo nitzel, shurumasa ma'aser sheni ve'ikter shelo niftu, right, shelo niftu. Eating ma'aser sheni, that is not redeemed. Okay, the first Mishnah talks about eating ma'aser sheni, this Mishnah talks about eating ma'aser sheni. Okay, and outside the walls. Okay, so why would the first Mishnah and the second Mishnah both be talking about eating Maaser Sheni outside the walls of Yerushalayim? So the Gemara says, Tanina Chadazimna, Maisa Sheni, Vector Shaloniftu, Amra Vyosi Rabbi Chanina, Sefer, Maisa Sheni, Tahor, Vigavar Tahor, Deka Achel, Chutz Lechoma. Okay, talking about two different violations. Our Mishnah, the second Mishnah in the third Perek, is talking about eating it outside Yerushalayim. Okay? You're Tahor, the Maisa Sheni's Tahor, everyone's fine. You're just eating it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Malchus. Reisha, the first Mishnah, by Maaser Sheni Tamei, V'gavra Tamei, V'ka'achalei B'Yerushalayim. It's talking about where the Maaser Sheni is Tamei. It's talking about where you're Tamei. You eat it in Yerushalayim. Also Malchus. Okay. So now there are two separate Maaser Sheni halachas. One halacha about eating it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Tumah Tahara, not a factor, subject to Malchus. And a second prohibition is eating it in Yerushalayim when you and the Maaser Sheni are Tamei. That's another infraction. Right, Rabbi Shimon teaches us. This is part of the vidui. This is part of the confession that you make at the end of the third and sixth year. Vidui Maaser. And one of the things that you say is, Lo vi arti mimenu betamei. That when I consumed it, beer means destroy it, but here, beer means consume it. When I consumed it, I was not tamei. And that's talking about my sasheni. Bein shani tamei v'utar, bein shani tar v'utamei. Ve'echan muzar al achila, eina yodea. So, and where is the azhara? So the Braisa says, I don't know. Meaning, we know that the Torah makes a confession, I didn't do it, but where does the Torah say it's also? So the Braisa says, I don't know. So the Gemara says, now, that's the Braisa, and here the Gemara interjects in the Braisa. Tomas Agov, Bajik Siv. What do you mean? If you're Tamei, what do you mean, I don't know? Nefesh asher tiga bo v'tamei ad ha'arev v'lo yochom min ha'kadashim. Torah says very clearly that when you're Tamei, you're not allowed to eat Kodesh. And Maaser Sheni, despite the fact of what we said earlier this morning, Maaser Sheni is Kodesh. Right, be artias a kodesh min abayis. So Maaser Sheni has kedusha. So I know very clearly that if I'm tamei and I eat Maaser Sheni, I'm subject to malchus. It's the Torah says you're not allowed to do it. Elatumas atzmo minayin. How do I know I'm not tamei, but the Maaser Sheni is tamei? Where does the Torah give the azara? Dirsiv lo sucha lecho b'sharecho lahalan omer b'sharecha tochlenu atamei v'atahor. You're not allowed to eat it in your gates, and it says b'sharecha tochlenu atamei v'atahor. When you have an animal that becomes disqualified, right? It had a mom, had a blemish, and such a animal, you redeem it, and you can eat it wherever you want. Hatamei v'atahor v'tanya debei Rabbi Yishmael afilu tamei v'atahor ochlen b'kar achas. Ve'ein choshishin. The kama rachmana heich tamei desharelach gabei tahor. So the tamei is allowed to eat it together with the Torah. So hasam hacha lo seichol. And here, regarding kedusha, regarding maaser sheni in Yerushalayim, the Torah says lo seichol. You're not allowed to eat it. Fine. So. Right, based on a number of limudim, the Gemara teaches us that whether your tamei and the Maaser Sheni is fine, or whether the Maaser Sheni is tamei and your tahor, it's prohibited to eat the Maaser Sheni. Okay, good. So, fine, and that resolves our problem with the two Mishnayos. One Mishnah is talking about eating it outside the walls of Yerushalayim, and the other Mishnah is talking about eating it in. In Yerushalayim, while being tamei. Okay, we'll pause over here. Okay, so good. So we have now, So we have now a big discussion today about the kedusha of Yerushalayim, continuing or stopping even after the destruction. The Gemara presents it as a machlokas. I explained to you that's also a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. We talked today about the possibility of eating Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim nowadays, presumably contingent on this question of whether the Kedusha of Yerushalayim continues or it doesn't continue. Okay. Right? Possibly. And then we talked about eating Maaser Sheni outside the walls of Yerushalayim and eating Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim while being Tamei, both subject to Malchus, both prohibited min HaTorah. All right, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the middle of the Amud. Again, I remind everybody,